Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. Humanity may have just admitted something without meaning to that should make every archaeologist a little uncomfortable. We may not know how to leave a message for people 10,000 years from now. So sit with that for a second. Imagine someone hands you one assignment, just one. Leave behind a warning that still works after every government has fallen, every language has changed, and every religion has disappeared, and every person you've ever known has been dead for thousands of years. What would you build? A monument? A warning sign? Words carved into stone? Something huge enough to scare people away, but clear enough to still make sense after history forgets your name? And this is not just a thought experiment either. We actually spent millions of dollars trying to answer that question. The United States government assembled scientists, linguists, anthropologists, archaeologists, even science fiction writers, real experts with real money, real anxiety wearing a government badge, to figure out how to warn a civilization that doesn't exist yet. After years of work, after all that brain power, the answer was more unsettling than I expected. They weren't sure it could be done. And that was the moment the future turned around and started pointing at the past. Because if we can't reliably communicate with people 10,000 years from now, then why are we so confident we understand people from 10,000 years ago? So here's what actually happened. And yes, this was real. In the early 1980s, the United States was preparing to bury enormous amounts of nuclear waste beneath the New Mexico desert. And not just bury it, trust the future not to dig it back up. And not for decades, not even for centuries, for at least 10,000 years. Now, that number is ridiculous, and it was the assignment. The site was called the Waste Isolation Pilot Plant. And somewhere along the way, someone asked a question nobody had ever asked before. How do you warn people who don't exist yet to stay away? The government created something called the Human Interference Task Force. The room had to get bigger than engineers, so they brought together linguists, anthropologists, archaeologists, physicists, behavioral scientists, even science fiction writers, because they realized this wasn't an engineering problem, it was a civilization problem. Now imagine sitting in that room. Someone suggests warning signs. Then the problem hits the table. Languages disappear, which is a pretty serious issue when your warning sign is made of words. Someone else proposes giant monuments, but Stonehenge has stood for only over 5,000 years, the Great Pyramid for nearly 4,500 years. And people don't avoid monuments either. They travel across the world to see them. They buy tickets, they take pictures, they bring their kids. Then the ideas got even stranger, like way stranger. One serious proposal involved genetically engineered cats that would change color in the presence of radiation. Yes, cats, as in felines. But stay with me here. The hope was that stories about these ray cats might survive longer than language itself. As strange as that sounds, it was a serious proposal inside a serious government study. That is how desperate the question was. Can you imagine being in that meeting? Trying to convince your boss that glowing cats might save humanity? And after years of research, their conclusion was surprisingly honest. They couldn't guarantee that any warning would still mean the same thing 10,000 years from now. And not because those people would be stupid, because time is a monster. If modern civilization can't guarantee the future will understand one simple warning, what chance do we really have of perfectly understanding the past? There's one part of that government study that I couldn't stop thinking about. The part that bothered me was not the nuclear waste or the warning signs. It was the reason they believed the warning might fail. Future people would not be less intelligent. That was not the fear. They would just be different. Different language, different culture, different fears and values, different assumptions. Meaning doesn't live inside words. Not really. It lives inside people. And once the people disappear, meaning starts disappearing with them. So imagine this, 10,000 years from now, our civilization is gone. Every city, every government, every language, everything. Another civilization arrives and starts digging. They uncover traffic lights, wedding rings, children's playgrounds, hospitals, smartphones, skyscrapers, cemeteries, a whole civilization in pieces. They know every one of those things mattered, but would they know what any of them actually meant? Would they understand love? Marriage? What about childhood? Democracy? The internet? GPS? Social media? Or would they build a story that made sense to them? Well, probably not. Intelligence wouldn't be the issue. They simply wouldn't be us. Maybe we've already become those future archaeologists. Now, before we go any further, we need to be fair about something. None of this is news to archaeologists. They know this problem better than anyone. They know languages change. They know cultures disappear. That is why real archaeology does not rely on a single artifact. It compares languages, studies surrounding evidence. It uses geology, chemistry, carbon dating, genetics, history, and dozens of other disciplines to slowly rebuild the past, piece by piece. And a lot of the time, it works remarkably well. So no, I'm not saying archaeologists are just making things up, not even close. They're doing exactly what good science should do, not pretending uncertainty disappears, reducing it. But is reducing uncertainty eliminated? Or does it simply make our best interpretation more likely? Because if even the smartest people alive couldn't guarantee that one warning would survive 10,000 years, then maybe uncertainty is not a flaw in archaeology. Maybe it is the price of reading someone else's world without their dictionary, without their voice in the room. Maybe this all sounds like a thought experiment, but it isn't. That would be easier. We already know what losing context looks like. We are surrounded by it, sitting in museums, printed in papers, locked inside symbols we still can't open. Take the Copper Scroll. Unlike the other Dead Sea Scrolls, it wasn't written on parchment. It was engraved into copper, and instead of prayers or laws, it appears to describe the locations of hidden treasures, which is exactly the kind of thing you would hope came with better directions. The scroll survived. The places it describes mostly didn't. That is the problem in miniature. The map is still here. The world it belonged to isn't. And then there's Linear A, hundreds of inscriptions, an entire writing system, not a doodle, not a symbol carved by accident. It's a system. People read it. It meant something. Lives were organized around it. But today, nobody on Earth can read it. Now, that should humble us a little. And then you have the Indus script, thousands of inscriptions, still undeciphered. The Rongorongo, another lost writing system. The Phaistos disk, another message, still sitting there like a locked door, waiting for someone who can understand it. Some archaeologist watching this is probably yelling at the screen right now, "It's more complicated than that!" And yes, I get it, they're right, it is. But notice something. These are not fringe mysteries. They are accepted archaeological realities, reminders that sometimes the evidence survives, but enough context does not, to tell us exactly what it means. And maybe that's the lesson here. The most honest answer in archaeology is not always, "Here's what happened." Sometimes it's, "We don't know yet," and that is not a weakness. That is honesty. Because some questions aren't waiting for better opinions. They're waiting for one missing piece of evidence, one lost language, one broken context that may not even exist anymore. But there's another side to this story. Admitting there are questions we can't answer is hard enough. Realizing how often our answers change, that is a different kind of problem. New discoveries matter, of course they do. But history also moves when minds change. Take Linear B, for example. For decades, nobody could read it. Scholars debated who wrote it, what language it represented, what the symbols even meant. Then in the 1950s, Michael Ventris cracked the code. And suddenly the dead symbols started talking. The inscriptions hadn't changed. The symbols were the same. Our understanding is what changed. And then came the Maya. For generations, many researchers believed their carvings were mostly ceremonial. Then their writing system was deciphered. Those same stones suddenly began telling stories about kings, wars, alliances, dynasties, real people. The carvings hadn't changed. We had. And then we have Göbekli Tepe, may be the best reminder of all. When archaeologists first uncovered it, many believed that they were looking at a site used almost entirely for ritual. Then, more of the site was excavated. New structures, new evidence, new questions. The earlier archaeologists were not careless. They were working without evidence we have now. History changes when we discover new artifacts, sure. But it also changes when old artifacts meet new minds. That is the part that should humble us. And if that's happened again and again and again, then maybe the most dangerous sentence in archaeology is not "we don't know." It might be "we've already figured it out." If uncertainty has always been part of archaeology, why does certainty always seem to win? Every generation rewrites history. A new excavation changes a timeline. A forgotten inscription changes a translation. A DNA study changes where people came from. One discovery forces old theories to evolve, sometimes quietly, sometimes violently, but it happens over and over and over again. And yet, every generation quietly believes they're the one that finally understands the past. Dishonesty is not usually the problem. Arrogance is not always the problem either. The problem is that uncertainty is uncomfortable. Our brains don't like unfinished stories. We want answers. History usually gives us fragments, pieces, shards, half sentences from dead worlds. Now imagine you've spent 20 years studying one ancient civilization. Not casually either. I'm talking about your whole life. You've written books, published papers, defended lectures, built your career around one interpretation. Then one excavation uncovers a single inscription, one new piece of evidence, and suddenly the story you've spent your life defending might not be the story anymore. That is not just an academic problem. That is a human one. So would you change your mind immediately? Or would you spend a little time trying to make the new discovery fit the old picture? I think every one of us likes to believe we'd follow the evidence wherever it leads. And maybe we would, on our best day. But we're also human, and humans have always struggled to let go of stories that help the world make sense. That may be true in archaeology, science too, politics, religion. Honestly, maybe that's just what being human looks like. Maybe it's just what people do. So maybe we've been asking the wrong question all along. For centuries, we've looked at ancient ruins and asked, what were they trying to tell us? But after everything we've looked at today, that question feels incomplete. A different one kept following me. And that is, how much of what I'm seeing actually belongs to them, and how much belongs to me? Because every archaeologist or historian, scientist, every one of us brings something to the past. Our language, our culture, assumptions, blind spots. The ancient world doesn't change. We do. History is full of mysteries. Of course it is. But every generation quietly rebuilds the past using the pieces it has. 20,000 years from now, someone may be standing in the ruins of our civilization, carefully measuring, comparing, debating, completely convinced they finally understand who we were. And I hope they're right. Listen, thanks for watching with me today. I appreciate you. I'm Ralph, and this is Divergent Files. Until next time, stay curious, stay sharp, and remember, no matter what they say, the truth is still out there. These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.